finish each other's sandwiches. It's a quote from our favorite show. Finish each other's sandwiches. So now we claim it for our own. As we always think the same. So for now, that's the name.
Cool. It's like the Rocky Horror Picture Show where I have to like have penises drawn on my face and stuff.
Penis.
Penis. Don't start it like that.
Penis.
Weenus.
Slippage.
This is my weenus.
This is my queener.
Is this weird? Do you want... I'm not setting anything else up.
Is this weird? I don't care. Fuck you.
This is how it is.
This is what you get. So this is the beginning of the show. Hi. How is everybody?
Hey.
Hey, guys.
This is... I'm Joe. And this is Grace next to me. But you don't know that.
You don't know that. But just so... Just FYI.
This is finish each other's sandwiches.
And we have some special guests today. We have what is it, the three-piece hi-fi gentry, which includes Joe and Andrew, who's been on the show before, and hello. Introducing Baker.
Hello.
So it's Baker. It's Adam Baker, but we call him just Baker.
Yeah.
He also is a baker.
He's a baker.
Profession trade.
By choice, by trade.
By choice, by trade, by fate.
Choice is
by birth.
Yeah.
By God.
My God. Okay.
It's my God given right to
SPDS.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Come on.
That's my favorite thing.
I miss
when we
those
first started
so
playing,
much.
Like the first few weeks that I joined the band, I used this and we just used it as much as we use it on the podcast for
SPDS.
Straight up fun.
You got the groove.
No way did we use it musically.
Nope. Are you kidding? We only used it musically.
It enhanced the music.
Yeah.
But we used it not melodically.
Hashtag strictly fun. Straight up fun.
This is a band, Hi-Fi Gentry.
Mm-hmm. You guys should tell them what that means.
Yeah, I don't
how
know.
You came up with
how'd
that
you
name?
Come up with that? I didn't come up with it. I joined the band.
Andrew.
Well, Baker and I went on like a serious band name brainstorm.
Like he took it mushrooms, went out to the desert.
No, it was like we just had an orgy of band names, yeah, like one after just, the other. Like,
I stopped listening after you had an orgy. I'm sorry.
Well, we had an orgy and then started thinking of band names.
Yeah. They were like, our band name should be Orgy, but that's already
how
taken.
Someone's work taken orgy it.
That was the problem. Taken or lame or...
It was Hi-Fi Orgy initially, but that was taken.
Yeah.
So
taken.
Obviously. Mm-hmm.
Simpsons did it.
Well, no, yeah, but we went through fucking everything. Because before it was Milk Toast and then...
Ew.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
gross.
Yeah. Awful.
No, I liked it.
That's like, so that's like It's Always Sunny with Milk
Toast. Well, I joined the band as when it was Milk Toast, and I was like, all right, so
I've been,
gotta change the
I've
name
been in a band called Plato's Magic Squeeze Machine.
I'm not okay
so.
With Milk Toast being the name of the band.
Oh, my God. Well, you're your loss. That's true. So when Milk Toast gets so famous,
Milk Toast.
You'll be eating your words.
It can't happen.
You'll be eating your Milk Toast.
It'll taste as bland as Milk Toast.
Oh, stay you.
Have we done this enough, you think?
As long as you're not expecting it, it's still funny.
Yeah. This will be our 12th episode.
Yeah.
So this has been... That happened at least 17 times. Because it's happened more than once per episode. So I'm going to like just take a wild guess. 17 times. So we're in a band. Andrew plays guitar and does vox. Baker also does vox and plays bass guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And I play drums and sometimes do vox.
Vox.
So it's been fun.
You guys have been playing together for about
a year
and change.
Our first show was at Herman's Hideaway, I think January 17th.
Yeah, it was almost exactly a year ago, our first show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Freezing too.
It was cold.
It went really well though. I thought
it
that
did.
Was.
We had been playing together for like a month. We're like, all right, Herman's Hideaway.
Yeah,
and then it was just like
that
and
was
then
a
we...
good first show.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
We played. We basically headlined a pretty big venue, and it went pretty well. I think didn't we get it recorded? We recorded.
Yeah,
that.
We did. Yeah.
We listened back. We're like, we could do better, but it really wasn't bad. For anybody seeing us, they probably would have been like. Wouldn't have known that was our first show.
They didn't throw anything at us, so
that's true.
It's a good sign.
We didn't have tomato juice all over.
Yeah.
They didn't throw tomatoes and cabbages
Free
at
dinner.
Us. And
why do you have cabbage? Oh, the kitchen.
So that was a good show.
You guys did a good job on that one. I remember like I had visited the week before and Joe was really excited about the show and I listened to the recording and you guys were really impressive. I had only heard you like the one other time. Thank you.
Well, that was an example of a good show.
I'm tickled.
I feel like we should have some examples of some bad shows that we've played.
Oh my god!
Because we've all been in bands before, and we've been playing music for I don't know how many years you've been playing, Andrew.
I've been playing since I was 13. So
over 10 years,
12 years.
Yeah. And what about you, Baker?
I had probably my first show like 12, 13.
Really?
And as soon as I figured out it was an option, I was like, I'm gonna do that then.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
About the same for me.
Sounds.
It's like out of high school I was doing it. So around 2000. So more like 10 years, but
yeah.
Nice. That's cool.
So we've all played our fair share of bad shows.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
My like whole life is a bad show.
My real life is a bad show.
I'm
and then I get on stage and play a show and hope that it's not as bad as
my real
life.
And it's a bad
life.
Show inside of a bad show. It's like Inception.
Yo, right. Dog, I heard you like bad shows. What was what would you say your worst show was, Andrew?
Well, the first one, when we played the 8th grade talent show, people still quote to me, our singer comes out and we're playing Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Right.
And he goes, "Ladies and gentlemen, Nirvana!" And then I started playing the riff and it was just the dweebiest thing. And we also played at an old folks home and we're like trying this. We had emerged, you know. Like, we're like wannabe punk rockers, you know.
Yeah.
But we're playing, and there's the fucking family egg toss going on in the background.
Oh, God.
How did you get a show
and
at
we're playing
an old
on
folks
the lawn.
Home.
Oh, you just got to know the right people.
Yeah, right.
I got connections.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, fucking Eleanor and Gertrude.
Fucking Eleanor.
Yeah.
You don't get a cut of
I got my
it's
in.
The bar, right? The bar is where you make the money.
Yeah,
did they pay you in like candy corn and like old caramel candies? Like the kinds that have been sitting on the dining room table for just a little questionable amount of time?
I have a lot of doilies too.
Yeah. Hugs and kisses.
So that would you think that would be like your worst experience? Like you get that feeling like, oh God, everything's terrible. Like just like a rush through your body where you're like, I'm in front of everybody and that was really embarrassing.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, I can imagine. What about you, Baker? Any particulars or
I played in the back of a concert. Like there was this huge like multi-level concert in LA called the Echoplex, and like every stage three of them are occupied and they threw a bunch of us in the alley with all the food trucks and these generators.
Ew.
Like, so you didn't even get a stage out of the three stages.
It was like plywood and cinder blocks, so it was a stage, but it was just it was like
theoretically
this is loud.
Yeah, and it was it bad? Like, did you guys play bad, or was it just the fact that you were, like, in this makeshift alleyway stage?
Oh, we're just, like, a string band in an alley with a bunch of food trucks. Like, well, we don't stand a chance. All right.
Did you have an audience? Was anybody watching you?
The food trucks.
There were people there.
There were people eating at
they
the
were
food
in line. They had nothing else to do, so they watched us. So
yeah.
They actually were covering their ears.
Yeah. The rats, like, in the back in the trash, were like,
they wouldn't listen.
They were trying to take the food from the food trucks and put it over their ears.
Yeah. Just like two frozen steaks. They're like, this is okay.
Was there even a PA and like mics and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't so bad. It was just kind of like awkward.
Yeah. Mm. I'm weirdly.
People are just like, people when they're eating in front of you and there's not house lights and it's not dark. Just like, oh, I'm distracted. I can't really pay attention.
Well, you guys just recently played, Denver Biscuit Company.
Oh, that's right.
Which was
that
fairly
was hilarious.
Familiar in that sense.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There were like it was like a family event and they were giving away free shit. And so there was a like dude in making like balloon animals for small children. And then the generators were going and we were just two acoustic guitars in the corner. No one can hear us. We're playing like the Union Maid song and there are these little children running around and parents like getting pissed off like, don't indoctrinate my child.
When our set list, we learned like close to 50 songs. And we're like, oh, we're going to play like 27, 28 of these.
No,
that's not appropriate. That's probably not going to fly.
You can only play "You Are My Sunshine." So
speaking
many
of non-appropriate,
just a few times.
There's been many times while we're practicing that we make very inappropriate jokes, like as we're playing, because like that's just who we are, and we think it's funny. We call each other faggots all the time, and we talk about horrible things that have happened in life, and we make jokes about it.
That's the way to survive.
As you know, if you listen to this podcast, you know our horrible humor. But we've talked about it, like playing live, playing at shows and like having banter and like having that banter be super inappropriate. And we're like, every time we're like, we make a joke like, oh, that's really good. And we're like, better not say that in front of people.
Don't get too comfortable on the mic.
Good thing we have a filter.
Yeah, definitely. Like when we play, but like in the, you know, in our practice space, it's just us, so it's not like anybody gives a shit. But we make jokes. One of the first jokes we made was like pretending that it was a fact that everybody that survived the Holocaust was now dead. Like that is like a fun fact Friday. This is happening now. Everybody, you know, that tried to survive is now dead. So yeah. It was for no reason.
So it was like, you know how sad the Holocaust was? What's even sadder is that everyone who went through all of that just to survive is dead now.
It's like, they, you guys, died. Like, you can't,
it's
believe.
So bad. I mean, like, we were just like, imagine saying that and like just deadpan, just saying it like, and what would it be like a reaction that a crowd would have, especially at a show?
Usually
nothing.
If you have no confidence on it, you're like, I just made myself kind of feel really disgusted. Like, I need a shower.
It's my
now.
Goal to get something thrown at me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you know how it's really bad.
So here's my home address, is where you can throw a firebomb or, you know, whatever.
A brick just fell through my window. Just
fell through. Like, was it a sky window? Was it
a skylight?
A skylight.
A sky window.
It was Fan Man dropping a brick through the window.
Yeah.
It's like, so I was drinking my Snapple the other day, and you won't believe the fact I found under the cap. You know, everyone from the Holocaust is dead. I can't believe it.
Oh my
they
God.
They put this in the Snapple. It was on all
this
the
This just happened
ones.
Today.
There's a lot of sugar in this.
It's like, moving on. Right? This is a good Snapple, though.
I'm going to Instagram this Snapple fact.
Yeah. I like it. I like it.
This is our transition music. If you didn't
know. This means
difficulty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stay you.
So speaking, so speaking of when you guys had like first started playing music, what influenced you to begin playing music and start playing live music, Baker?
This is Rush Limbaugh. I'm asking you a question.
Bills, bills, bills.
Hey, you're wrong. No. Liar.
Just gurgling sounds.
Uh-oh.
Maybe like first favorite bands and like maybe why they made you want to play music. I don't know, something along those lines.
I mean, one of my favorites is always the Beach Boys. I love harmonies and, you know, just, it was amazing, obviously, for obvious reasons. And the one band that made me want to play was The Clash, especially Joe Strummer, because it was like, that motherfucker can barely sing.
Yeah.
I can do this.
Yeah, totally.
So
That's a great, one of the biggest influences for... Especially a lot of people that went into punk, because that was like your first initial thing was like punk, right?
Yeah, punk bands.
So did you play music or you just sang in punk bands
first? Oh, I played guitar and we played guitar, did vocals, we did harmonies, recorded, everything. Everything was DIY,
nice.
Merchandise.
What was the name of your first band that you played that was a punk band?
I can't remember all the first names, but like the first major one was a local thrash organization.
Nice.
And it was just like,
LTO?
Yeah, it was just like a bunch of punk ass friends who would
LTO.
Like, they would tag that with Sharpies like all over the place.
Yeah.
And we're like, can we use that as a band name? Because we can't think of one. And it just worked. It was easy to remember and it was fun. It was
when you guys played live, what was your main thing?
Your shtick.
Like, did you play drum? I mean, did you play...
I play guitar and did singer. Vocals.
You did guitar and vocals?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
Any recordings you have of those?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've heard them.
We'll have to them. I haven't heard them.
They're badass.
Yeah, we got a couple. We got some online still that are like remained in the...
Really?
Yeah, in the crypts
on MySpace.
Of MySpace.
Those are the best.
The two local music.
Yes. Yeah. There's still... I mean, those exist somewhere, I think. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you can go to that link. It's not dead. It's just no one uses it.
Oh, no, yeah. You just... Nobody remembers their login information anymore.
What about you, Andrew?
What about me? Oh, what getting me?
First band.
Oh man. First band.
Your band virginity.
Was the eighth grade band
called
Mass Confusion.
So would you say Nirvana was like a big influence since you played Nirvana?
Yeah, kind of. But I mean, also the Beatles. I loved them. And I don't know. I wanted to be cooler than I was.
Right.
Also.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
Just playing
no
the sax
cool
and marching around
grade.
During
no
halftime
cool.
did not.
Didn't do
think.
It for you.
I didn't want to have to wear a cape. And like,
yeah.
So I picked up the guitar and was like, I will get laid so fast.
It really is like,
and then and he still hasn't been laid.
I still still hasn't worked out for me.
But he still has a cape. That is still a thing.
I might have to move on to the cape. Maybe that's how the electric guitar hasn't worked.
That's how you get it. Combine the two.
Yeah,
you wear capes in marching band. Like I tried marching band.
I tried dressing as Batman. No, I don't know. Just one where they enjoy pomp.
Like a cape.
I don't know.
Like a Phantom of the Opera.
You were the Phantom of the Opera of the marching band.
Phantom of the marching band.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you dropped your stick. You always drop your stick.
Come on. Don't drop the stick.
Butterfingers.
Butterfingers. I remember it was me and like the DRB. It was me, Brian, Lewis.
Dirty Rotten Bastard.
Nobody could afford instruments. Yeah. Brian was the only person that knew how to play anything. He played guitar. I bought a bass and a little practice amp. And Lewis played trash cans upside down.
Yeah.
And that was his drum kit. And that we played like once. And it was like, that was it. That was the whole band. My favorite band at the time was like AC/DC. And I just wanted to do like classic rock. And that was like my biggest draw. But that's where it started. And then I was like, oh, cool. I play bass and I like AC/DC. I thought it was really cool. And I wasn't.
You like just played on rocks and like the walls, like cavemen.
Yeah, it was horrible. None
Keep
of us
the dad
owned
out there.
Even somewhat of instruments.
Proto cave rock.
Yeah. We were creating genres back then.
It was like a level beyond garage rock. It
sounds
like
a hipster
cage.
Niche.
It was.
Yeah.
If we lived in Brooklyn, we would have been famous.
That would have been,
Kind of caveman neo folk.
I'm really into Neolithic music right now. That's mostly what I'm into.
None of us actually play instruments. We just hit things.
There's no words, just sounds. Diet. Paleo diet.
Come on.
Yeah.
So you guys have been... Joe moved here like a little over a year ago. And Andrew, like how long have you been here? And then what do you think of the music scene here?
I've been here about 3.5 years.
Okay.
3.5 years, yeah.
I
think the music scene is very vibrant and there's a lot going on. I mean, so many different genres too. That's what I love. I mean, you get a taste of everything because it is a pretty big city,
yeah,
you know, but it's not like New York where we'll all starve to death,
right?
And like, or just get good at being homeless.
There's too
get
many
good at being homeless.
Way too many bands, too many shows, way too many things happening in New York. There's so many bands trying to make it in that town that like, it's like, there's just too much. It's saturated.
Yeah.
And so like while I was there, it was like, there wasn't a night of the week where there wasn't five bands trying to play a show somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, how do I, you know, see all these bands or how do I like, and then everybody was like trying all these different things and it was just too much.
Yeah.
Whereas here, like, yeah, there's probably a show or two every night and like you could go, but it's more cohesive, I feel.
It is. And there is still like room to like move up in the scene and it's not just like dead. You know,
stand out too.
Yeah.
You know.
And so. I feel like New York has so many of its own niches. Like even though it's like a big city, you have like Long Island and Brooklyn and the city. And the city in and of itself has so many different scenes. So really finding your niche. It's just, it may seem small, but you know, it's a broad blanket.
What would you say this Denver music scene compares to like LA, like where you came from, Baker?
I mean, it's the competition level is like kind of the same.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of really talented people in small market, and even it gets smaller in LA, it seems, because a lot of places are pay to play. Especially the more reputable clubs.
They did that in New York a lot too.
Yeah. And if you want to play, you know, the whiskey, it's all who has the money, not who's starving for it the most, who
right.
It.
Yeah.
So
that's really obnoxious.
Sucks.
We were so like, we were the band that was anti pay to play. Like anytime, even our friends' bands that would play it, we'd like boycott it. We'd be like, don't do that. Don't play that show. We hate this shit.
Music is free, man.
We just
free.
Got another offer to play a pay to play.
Really?
Show.
Where was it?
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
I think, yes.
Was it Cervantes?
Every time.
That, what sense. Is it? Big Gorilla Music or something like that?
Big Fucks.
Suck my monkey dick, dog.
Yeah.
When you charge bands.
We want to play there, Cervantes disclaimer, don't want to deal with your fucking production company.
Some promoters are really cool. They want to get bands on. They like the idea. They don't say, oh, you have to sell, 50 tickets to make money. They're like, all right, yeah, we'll put you on this bill and, you know, a bunch of bands could play and it'll be good and make part of the door and stuff like that. Like it totally depends on who the bar decides to hire as their promoter. And that's really what makes or breaks a venue, in my opinion.
Well, and they try to take the scene away from the people in the scene. Mm. You know, it's like the people making and trying to strive within it. So,
And I think if you decide as a venue to, like, if you're a bar and a restaurant first and then you have live music, you have to just make the decision that you're going to actually support it. If you're in the business to make money, then you should have another plan instead of taking money from what could be bringing money in, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, yeah, I just think people make that decision. So, you know.
It is what we make.
Come on! Yeah. So we were trying before to record something for this. And we're working on like all these new songs. We have like some, but we're breaking it down. We like, we try to do it acoustic. We try to do it electric. We're trying to do it like half and half. And that shit's fucking annoying. Like, I wish there was like a call in, like call in with everybody's annoyances with like recording and music. Like, you know, other musicians have these problems. Like, I only have three microphones. It How can I make this time. Work? And even with the combining all of our equipment, it's still just like such a fucking hassle to get things done. And like,
it's like four trips to Guitar Center later.
Ugh.
And like, we'll listen to other people and it's like, oh, that sounds really good. And it's like, yeah, well, when you look up where they record, it's like, oh, that's a nice studio. What is it? Oh, is it fucking $70 an hour to try and record there? It's like, I don't know what place in the world thinks musicians have money. Like, what establishments think, oh, these guys have money. They'll give us money for helping them out. And it's like, we'll try. We'll give you our, like, shillings.
Our shillings.
I could do a trade.
Yeah.
All I have are these Snapple caps. This is all I have.
Can I give you my arms after I'm successful? Like,
you can have all my clothes.
It's the idea that we're working, we're striving, and it's like, we're providing a service. We are playing music, and we hope that that's not just for us. You know, if we play in front of a bunch of people, it's not just because we want to be famous and that we need people to hear our music. We're also providing a service. We're like, we're entertaining people for that 45 minutes. So,
and we've put in a lot of hours of work.
Like, and like, we practiced like 3-4 times a week for however many weeks, and then we go and we perform, and it's like, we very rarely make any money that's sufficient. And it's almost like, and then these places that think they can charge us for our service is absurd. To think that, like, hey, we're doing something for you. We're entertaining a crowd that's here to drink and make you guys money. We bring our friends. We bring our friends of friends. Mm-hmm. And then you ask us for money. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's horrible for, just the scene in general.
Yeah.
It's just like,
why they have the balls, they think
it's like
that
we
they can
rented
boo.
A big room and you need to play here.
Yeah. It's like, all they're providing is a room, four walls and the ceiling. Well, we could do that anywhere.
It's all just like hand-to-mouth capitalism, though. I mean, you know, as good as people want to be. There was a place in Athens that let people play for free, but they were constantly running fundraisers and constantly trying to make money and be as, like, virtuous as possible in their strive to, like, take care of local musicians. And it worked. It's not impossible.
Well, no, because the scene will take care of itself. Yep. And, like, you know, your establishments don't make money off of us getting up there and performing. It makes money off all the beer,
alcohol.
And if you offer 18 up, you know, with X's on the hands, like, you fucking tar paint, I don't care.
I know.
You know, make it available to a lot more people, and as far as entry, and then just make your money off the bar like you normally do,
right?
You know, and then we're like with Herman's Hideaway that one time. With the tickets, it's like, look, if you're worried about us making money, don't worry. We're trying to get people in your door and have a good show.
Yeah. Right. And they will. Of course they're going to drink. Like, absolutely. Nobody's going to go to a bar and be like, well, I'll just sit here and talk to myself. Like, I'm not going to. I have water.
But who wants to pay an entry fee to a bar? It's like,
No, that's obnoxious.
Absolutely.
It's obnoxious.
Yeah.
We always tried to play shows that had no cover. Like, and we didn't care if we made money, but as long as our friends weren't constantly charged $10, $15 to get into a show, like, five is
it's
okay.
It's hard to build a fan base
seven,
that way.
Like, something like that. It's like, it's reasonable, but yeah, exactly. You can't have a show every other week or every week and have your friends expected to come down and pay that much money every time. It's like, even if your favorite band came through and was playing, like, a bunch of shows, like, would you go to every show? Not everybody would. Like, you know, some people wouldn't. And it's like, because I can't afford to go every single night that they're here. And it's...
If it goes directly to the band, I understand it. Because I feel that they're... If you don't put a price on something, but you just ask for donations, people will pay better, you know? If you know it goes to the band. Not just the bar, because they want to pay to have people come in.
Oh, get paid.
Get make, money.
Make that paper.
Came up with a rap song earlier.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I think it'll be a hit. I think if we write this song.
Are you talking about our romance ballad
yeah.
that we wrote? Oh.
Oh, no. The other one. That is like, I'm going to put my dick in
that's,
that.
That's
I'm
what I
put
meant.
My
I
dick in that.
Okay. So it's a ballad. It's a duet between the two. It's a man and a woman.
Oh, that's right.
And the girl. The guy sings, he's like,
I'm going to put my dick in that. I'm going to put my dick in that.
And then the girl's like, she comes back. She's like, he's going to put his dick in that. He's going to put his dick in that. He's going to put his, he's going to put his, he's going to put his dick in that. He's like, I'm going to put my dick in that. And you know, like blowing up the charts.
I think that that'll definitely hit number one on TRL.
I think you need to have different shit that you're putting your dick in.
Yeah.
Like different a light what? Socket. Turducken.
Air vents.
Yeah.
This, Snapple
my new hat.
Snapple.
Yeah. My new Baker's hat. Idea was looking at like the bear trap and being like, I'm not going to put my dick in that. But then like
the
going
bridge.
On to the next thing, be like, yeah. I am going to put my dick in that. My dick in that.
Something you like instead. Apple pie dick in that. Cotton candy dick in that.
Ice cream.
Dick in that.
Dick in that.
Then you got to slow it down like
this. Yeah, I was going to say it's DJ work.
Dick in that.
And then like
the beat drop.
It yeah. goes into like the corner of the house. It's like my pet cat. I'm gonna put my woo, and then like you get arrested.
It goes too far.
It goes
sir,
too far.
You can't put your dick in that.
I can't put my dick in that.
The sequel. There's some things you can't put your dick in.
It's like the R. Kelly. I just found out that I can't put my dick in cats.
Yeah. Hold
on. Put my dick in
your
that. Put reformed my dick in
albums.
Cats.
I know.
It's like, I'm not going to put my dick in that cat. I'm not going to put my dick in that cat. I'm not going to do it. Really, tell my lawyers. I'm not going to put my dick in
no,
that
I'm
cat.
No, I'm serious. I'm telling you the truth. The music drops and she's talking.
I'm going to pull out my gun.
This is all like a chronicle tale. Like this whole song, it's like, is this song still going? Like, how did he record this while the events were happening? Like, this is very impressive.
There's a DJ mix and everything. I'm telling you. This is where we'll make our money.
It's already been sampled, too.
This is what we should have done, yeah.
We've written songs for over 10 years, like, creatively, artistically, and we've made $0 off of it. We'll write this song as a joke, make millions.
Well, I think they made a joke that, like, I guess when that song that was, like, ass, all it is ass.
Yeah.
Like, they said that that year that song was
ass
number one, and then, like, 40 years ago, it was a Beatles song or something like Whitney Houston that was, like, a really good song, and now it's just, so they had the lyrics next to each other, and the one was just, like, ass, and the other one was, like, I love you, I want to be with you, blah, 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 chords, and, like,
ass is just the short form version of I love you and I want to be with you.
He said ass, but I wasn't sure if he was saying he loved me.
Soap and water.
Maybe he's like a Pokemon and like he only can say ass. That's his like name.
Yeah.
But he's actually telling this like story. He's like ass. And they're like, no, it doesn't work.
Yosemite Sam or Elmer Fudd.
Pikachu fell in the well? What?
Speaking of definitely Pokemon, the other day we were singing the song, and
I don't know the song.
Yeah, we 100% don't know it. Like, we were trying to sing it when we went skiing, and we were like, Pokemon, you're going to get them. You got to catch them all. You can do it. You can do it if you try.
You can catch them, and it's okay if you don't, because you're trying.
The point is that you tried, because you can catch all of them, or some of them, because that's equally acceptable. You know.
If you got a lot, just save up for some more Pokeballs. Seriously, save up. Those things are fucking
seriously
expensive.
Yeah.
But tell your parents to go to Toys R Us and buy them now.
That's like, go, Mom!
But you got to catch them all before they make more.
It's like the undertone is like a really low. It's like, boy, you gotta catch them all. You gotta tell your parents.
You gotta catch them all.
That's what happens when you play it backwards, because this is on vinyl.
If you don't catch them all, I will eat you alive.
If you don't catch them, I will catch you. Whoa, this took a turn.
Why am I still
Satan
listening?
Satan Pokemon. We're,
why are you armed? What?
This is the B-side track to the other song that we were singing. Like, if you let the song play to the end, this song comes on. You're like, holy shit, where did this come from? Why are they singing about Pokemon?
You got a lot of range.
It's still a good song, though. That's still a good song.
It's true. Mm-hmm. So Baker's the only one that hasn't been on this before. So let's talk a little bit about Baker. So I know the Baker as Baker. So he does. You do cooking.
That's what they call me.
Bacon and cooking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And cleaning. He's like an everyman. At
Renaissance man.
You where you've worked in a few places around here now?
Yeah, I'm a plongeur, I guess. Just a slave, kitchen slave.
A slave.
Yeah.
A slave.
We like to call it the slave.
Yeah, line cook's the private of the line.
Right.
Yeah. Or of like kitchens. Like, right. Ah, you're my bitch.
Well, you used to be you were in the army too, right?
Yeah. I was in the army.
How many years?
I was Uncle Sam's bitch. Yeah. 3.5 years. I was a tank mechanic. That sucked.
Oh, really?
How old were you when you started? And then where were you? You were in Georgia for basic, right?
I was in Georgia.
Georgia.
Yeah.
Hotlanta.
Hotlanta. Yeah, I love Georgia. Hotlanta. I just got to see a lot of like country, different parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
It was good and bad.
Like, yeah. He's a sand expert.
Were you ever like in real danger?
Not as much danger as when you're behind me.
Okay. So.
down in the basement.
Yeah.
There's a Pulp Fiction vibe.
Right. Like, I feel
down
it.
Here, so. Yeah.
One single light in this dungeon.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I like how it's really close to the pipe. Like, it's a little
That's my
hot.
Favorite. Yeah. Yeah. I like that it like could explode at any minute.
I like the unexpected threat of fires. It keeps me on my toes.
That's like, the Dimitri Martin joke. He's like,
oh, is it?
Like, in a comedian's best place is in a place that's like unsafe with fire. He's like, we have like, the things open. Like, if you're in a really nice venue, he's like, that doesn't work for us. We need, like, brick wall with, like,
exposed
wires and stuff like that. The more flammable a place is, the better it is for comedy.
Hashtag the roof is on fire. No, really, the roof is on fire.
Seriously, they're calling the fire department.
Why are we tweeting to the fire department? They're not going to answer us.
Hashtag I am on fire.
So yeah, you were in the army for a little while, and now you live here. And we kind of talked to Andrew before, but he is from Ohio.
So are you okay? Are you Baker? Are you engaged or married?
I am engaged.
Engaged. Okay.
Yes. Yay. Once I get my ring, we will find the date.
Okay.
Nice.
I know it was like in the works. I didn't know where you were at that though.
Yeah. Yeah. She.
I was just gonna ask.
It's a little too big. I have little skinny bass playing fingers. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how his ring was.
Good for my little dick. So.
You guys live together down here.
We do. Yes. And yeah, we.
How did you guys meet?
We worked at Whole Foods together.
Classic hippie love story. Mm-hmm. I saw that bitch over the quinoa, and I was like, "Girl, I got you these chia seeds." And like, she was like, "What?"
It was like, "Oh, you eat meat? Because none of these fucking assholes eat meat." Yeah. I love you.
I want to marry you.
Let's go to the dairy section, make out, and drink some milk. You know.
Yeah.
I love Denver.
That's awesome. Man. Awesome.
Cool.
We're all here. We're all in a band now.
We all met here.
Yeah, we did.
We met Joe like
Craigslist.
That's the only way I know how to meet people.
No, that's true.
When he was like, "Yeah, we could practice strictly in my basement," and Andrew and I were like, "I don't know. I don't know."
Oh, that's
about
true.
It was a random encounter.
First thing was like,
pretty sure meeting, I brought a knife to that.
You like, I emailed them on Craigslist and it said, "Come over to my basement and play in my basement."
Don't worry,
I
have a light.
Yeah,
and candy. Wait.
That's so true.
I'm gonna put my dick in that. I'm gonna put my dick in that.
Yeah, in the background. I live next to the duct tape factory.
Oh god.
If it sounds like you're hearing screams, it's because you're hearing screams. I remember like Joe and I were talking, and he said that he was gonna like meet up and play with you guys, and he hadn't really talked about it before. He's like, "Yeah, I just met him on Craigslist, and we hung out. We were talking about Arrested, and I hope they." This is how he sounds, by the way.
Yeah, this is
He's
my
like,
voice.
Oh, you know.
Hey, Joel here. Hey, guys.
Hey, guys. These guys are really... I'm going to stop. So anyway, that's... Then he wanted to play with you guys, he said. And so he invited you to your basement, to his basement.
Come to my basement.
Faggot invited us over to his basement. Reach around.
I don't know. Baker said something about it.
That's when you became
It's only
good
dangerous
friends.
When you're behind me. I don't know what that means. So.
But they had a saying with the Navy guys were like, it's only gay if it's underway, which I guess means if you're below deck.
Oh, God.
It's like, you wouldn't do it above, right? They'd see you. That's not very tactical.
Do you have no... Below deck. Below deck.
My biggest complaint from being in other bands and also being in
this band.
Also being in this band.
Being in this room right now with you people.
The biggest problem that I had from being in the old scene, and from what I've seen, just no local bands, you know, famous bands have great harmonies, but when there's like local bands and just like they're not big yet and they're playing like little tiny shows, I have never heard incredible harmonies and vocals from anybody. And so when we played, Andrew and Baker both super impressed me with the vocals and the harmonies. And I was like, even if you were bad at your instruments, I would have played with you guys. I'd be like, no, we'll work on that. Right now, I really like this voice thing. But they're also good at the instruments. So it works out.
Swing.
And I think we fucking kill it as a three-piece. And everybody mm-hmm. should come see us
yeah.
if
yeah.
you're in the Denver area.
Sure. Come out.
It's a fun fucking show. Every show we played, we have fun. The crowd is fun. Mm-hmm. And it's just fucking awesome.
We always dance. Mm-hmm. I always dance with your sister, Emma Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
Emma Andrew.
She,
well, I heard you guys play that open mic.
Emma Andrew
and I was excited. You guys sounded good when I first heard you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, at the Lion's Lair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The old
That's a
Lair.
Great venue. Man. That's,
we have a show coming up there, guys.
We do. Oh.
On February
26th.
February 26th.
Lion's
Shameless
Lair.
Plug.
And we're playing with that.
Check
with
the local listings.
What's it called? They're called
Fairy Bones.
Fairy Bones. They're from Arizona, right?
Yeah.
Is it? Oh, cool.
Fairy Zone.
So we got some out of towners.
And February 6th. Sorry. I don't know dates.
March 6th.
March.
That gets out on after.
At Deer Pile.
After February 26th.
Deer Pile. Okay.
Yeah. With Professor Greenhouse, Eve Marie Jennings Band.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And Seth Evans.
Cool.
Yes.
Gobek
could not join us
that
day, but we look forward to booking a show with them soon.
Yes. Cool. Awesome.
We'll put some links up there for the shows.
Yeah.
Winks.
Get everything together. Stay tuned for the remix double platinum version of I'm Gonna Put My Dick in That. If you guys want to hear that, free download.
Dick in that.
I'm gonna put my dick in that. I'm gonna put my dick in that.
Come on.
The best part. Thanks right, for coming, guys. You guys. We like talking to you.
Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for inviting us to your basement. Guys.
Oh, God. Yeah.
We are finished each other's
sandwiches.
And this is Hi-Fi Gentry.
Mm-hmm. Gentry.
We signing out.
Pinch each other's gentry.
Oh, gosh.
Pinch each other.
Pinch?
No. What does that mean?
Pinch it up.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.